After the show, it's the after party. Then after the party, it's the hotel lobby. Then after the Bellevue, then it's probably Chris. And after the original, it's probably this.
Now it's time for the after party on WDRBY Roller Derby Radio with your hosts, Team Wet Black.
If you were a chick, who's the one guy you would sleep with?
John Stamos.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
The Great One,
Parth Vader.
Yo, where's my James Brown tape? The shit ain't in it.
Oh. Everybody trying to keep me and James in prison.
And the Latino legend, Derby Sanchez.
Even though my anus was broken, I knew that the rest of our journey would be great success.
Now it's time to catch up with all the events on and off the track. It's time for the after party on WDRBY, Roller Derby Radio.
Welcome to the after party with Team Wet Black. I am the Great One, Parth Vader, alongside my comrade, my cohort, my co-conspirator, the electrifying Derby Sanchez, and my voice is shot.
Yes, yes, we're both a little raspy. We did a weekend-long tournament.
Again.
It's March Madness located right here in our backyard, Columbia, South Carolina. Mostly a juniors tournament, but they
doing some big girls,
which we'll get to in a little bit. Excellent derby action, big girl derby action.
I had a lot of fun.
Yes, we did. You know, Team Wet Black love kids.
Kids love Team Wet Black. We'll talk about that part later in the show, but we want to start off with the WFTDA.
Yes, talk about what's shaking, what's moving. And I want to do a quick recap. We're looking back the past couple weeks. Since we're spreading out these podcasts by every couple weeks to give us an opportunity to do a little bit of an overlook, talk about a team near and dear to our hearts, the Appalachian Roller Girls, recently took it to West Virginia and suffered a loss to Beckley Derby, Beckley area.
Bad girls.
Bad.
I've seen them a few times, actually, within the last couple of years. And like they sneak to South Carolina every now and again.
They do indeed. That was a little upsetting, but I'll tell you what. One team I did notice is, we were looking back, no big dogs have really kicked off their season yet. Haven't really seen any top Division I turn derby yet. Usually right around like May, June, because June, summer's tournament season. And then
speaking of which, Columbia will be playing Atlanta. In Atlanta in the next couple of months. I'm definitely going to go down there and check that out.
Absolutely. So a lot of the big dogs still waiting to kick off their season, but you know a lot of those top tier teams, they don't play as much. They usually play right around their minimum requirements. They save most of their play for tournaments.
Yeah.
Which it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Instead of having to travel and play a whole bunch of teams, you know, you just, if you can make one big travel.
Get three or four games in 1 weekend.
Boom. There you go. So we've noticed that that's what a lot of the top-tier teams do, especially for those overseas teams. That obviously makes a lot of sense for them. So, but a lot of small leagues already kicking off their seasons. I'll tell you what, one team I noticed, Grand Raggedy out of, what was that, Michigan, right?
Yeah. Grand Rapids, Michigan.
They've been playing a good bit. They fell to North Star, which... All right, looks like the weekend of the 18th, they fell to North Star, and then they came back 2 weekends later, played back-to-back derby, and got double wins. So, looks like they've been pretty heavy in the tournament, or in the derby world. But, what's going on with North Star, homie?
All right, if you've listened to any of our shows in the past, you know that we're real, real critical about logos. Your logo is basically what we call your derby handshake. It's basically the first thing that another team or any casual fan will see, your logo. And we gave Grand Raggedy a real hard time about their old logo. And I want to say that it's because of us they changed their logo. It's probably not, it's probably not correct, but I will not. I would like to take credit for that.
We'll take credit for that.
And now looking at their opponents, who was it again?
It was on the 18th. They played North Star.
North Star. Now, at first glance, you look at North Star's logo, and it looks from afar. From I mean, like 6 feet away.
Yeah.
It's a star with a skull in the middle of it, and I'm like. Blah.
Lame. Like, really? You got a star with a skull? That's like, the best you could do?
It's like somebody was looking on the counter. Let's just put these two things together and print t-shirts. Gold. But on second glance, if you have to look real hard at it, where the teeth are in the middle of the skull.
So the teeth of the skull.
The teeth of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
It's the outline of the city.
This is Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Is it Minneapolis?
I believe it is. North Star is Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Because I thought Minnesota, clap, 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 was Minneapolis.
Well, I mean, there could be, you know, there's more than one league. North Star is around the 60s, so they're like a Division III team.
Okay, okay.
So, North Star is in the 60s, and then Grand Raggedy is in like the 90s.
So what's a regular CQS situation?
Two teams, same city. So
yeah, it is the outline of the city on the teeth of the skull. And I was like, okay. It's not the worst thing. You can tell they actually took a little time with this.
Because it is this, you know, city skyline or cityscape or whatever you want to call it. So, for that reason, we withdrew on our original,
We were about to dig into y'all.
We were going to lay into it. Yes.
Y'all were about to get the full treatment. But they did hand Grand Raggedy a woodshed ass whooping.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, verifying North Star Roller Girls from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
The travel team, the Supernovas.
Yes. So they're from North Star North Star Roller Girls. So I would assume they're from a little bit further up north. But yeah, they gave it to Grand Raggedy, but Grand Raggedy turned around, like I said, the next following couple weeks, and they pulled back to back weekend wins. I know one was Kalamazoo, and I can't remember the other team. But like I said, that just tells you within a one-month span, mm-hmm. three bouts.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that before, how that's the difference between the smaller leagues, D3 and D4 teams, and the Division I teams.
Yeah.
So it almost seems unfair, but unfortunately, the way Derby is set up, like you kind of got to put the work in for a good while to really, you know, climb up the rankings.
Yeah. You got some scores for us, son?
No.
Oh, okay.
An actual score is just peeping the wins. So yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely. I do have a score for you though. It just happened. This just in. Magic City Misfits defeated New Jack City, the Jacksonville All Stars, by 2 points. Just now, this just ended like 15 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
195-193.
You know, we've been seeing more and more of that in like the recent years. Like
Battle of the Sexes.
Battle of the Sexes, just female teams taking on male teams. And I think, I mean, not, you know, this is hopefully doesn't come out the wrong way, but I mean, obviously, I think female teams put themselves to the test by playing male teams.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for the most part, you know, two, let's say, top tier, Division I teams among female and male, most commonly the male team would pull out the win. But I mean, when you see a female team go toe to toe with a team like that, that just tells you the skill level of that female team, how well they're put together.
I love it.
Yeah. So like I said, we've seen it a lot lately with one local teams, Carolina Wrecking Balls. Have played. They played some of the local female teams, the Blue Ridge Roller Girls.
They played Greensboro, if I'm not mistaken, also.
Greensboro. Did they play Columbia Quad Squad?
It was a while ago. I think it was last year they played them. I haven't played them recently.
Okay, so we've we've been seeing that, and I like it. I like to see that. I like to see that because I mean, obviously we see Derby in general going more co-ed. When you go to these major things, when you go like. Was that RollerCon out in Vegas? Everything's co-ed. When you go a lot of
lock-in, 100% co-ed,
100% co-ed. So, what do you think? You think that's?
I've said this before. I think roller derby is like in the next 5 years is going to be co-ed. Period.
Really? You think so? Huh?
Maybe 10 years, but I mean, because you look at the juniors. The juniors are already co-ed.
True. All juniors leagues are co-ed. You have some female like co or junior teams, but. I don't think it's because they don't, like, they don't take boys. It's, you know, if there is a male or two, I mean, they just throw it in there.
And, I mean, like I said, with the next, like, 5-6 years, these juniors, when they age out, it's just, they're already being used to playing with girls and playing with boys, and it's, I think it's going to be all co-ed in the next maybe 7 years. I'll put 7 on it.
7, okay. So you think that's the next big evolution in the...
Roller derby will be the first official co-ed sport.
Oh, okay. I mean, hey, I definitely, you know, one thing we know about the roller derby and the leagues, WFTDA and MRDA, MIFTA, or whatever they are, but they're very progressive.
Yeah.
They like to be progressive.
On the forefront, absolutely. The forefront. I mean, you don't see it with basketball. There's no WNBA, NBA merger. There's no soccer. You know, there's no hockey. I mean, there's no hockey.
Tennis.
Okay,
tennis would probably be the only one, I feel, because yeah, I mean, not only
have a men's division and a women's division, but they do have doubles.
Yeah, I was going to say doubles is mixed. And,
but it's not really a whole division, though.
You know? But you remember, what was it, back in the 80s? The Battle of the Sexes, I think it was. Billie Jean, like, way, King, way back in the 80s, they did the Battle of Sexes, and the women demolished the men.
Billie Jean King.
They gave it to the dudes. Men did not, they weren't prepared for that either.
I don't think the men would be prepared for it today. Serena Williams would crush anybody.
Yes, I agree.
Serena Williams will crush everybody. I still say she's like top 3 best athletes in the world right now.
I 100% agree, because what was it, in an interview, somebody asked her, how do you feel about being named the top female athlete of the decade? And her response was, just top female athlete? Like, really? Like, why you guys, Serena? She was like,
so much.
Why is it gotta be like that? Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's the matter of, like, it's one of those sports where the difference between sexes won't play that big of a role. I feel like derby, you know, because of agility, athleticism, being a male doesn't give you that much of advantage over a female.
Not really.
Much like tennis. However, in a sport like basketball, I just feel like men would have an athletic advantage.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, like, guys tend to grow a lot taller, you know.
I mean, and just
work out a lot more,
just
get
physique,
bigger.
You know what I'm saying? Theory, general physique, you know. Just it's science. This isn't being sex. This is science. You know, this is just the male body versus the female body.
Like, look at the probably one of the smaller players, like Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody in WNBA can handle Russell. I don't think anybody, nobody, because really nobody in
nobody
the NBA.
In the NBA can handle Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook is my favorite basketball player right now. Like, if Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson had a baby, it would be Russell Westbrook. The man gives no regard for human life when he comes to the home. I'm sorry we're talking about basketball, but...
Yeah, we strayed off a little there. This is WDR. This is a Roller Derby podcast, so...
WDRBY, we're back.
Yeah. After party. It's our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want.
That's absolutely.
Okay, so, all
You're
right.
listening to us for a reason.
Yes. So, you know, we're talking about some of the lower teams. Like I said, we haven't really had any big dogs kicking off yet, but we talked about it before, and we're going to talk about it a little more. The power shifts that is to be this year.
Yes. Oh, we need to run down these really quick, because it has... So, the Bron Swanson watch is officially over. We know where Bron Swanson is laying her head down to sleep right now. It is in Denver, Colorado, with her sister, Skull Eagle.
Yes.
And me and Carter away, we're talking about this. This might be the best put-together team, offense and defense-wise, since Gotham 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Susie Hot Rod, OMG, like all of them, like, still kind of, you know, in their prime. And they just still, oh man, this is the... Gotham 2012 versus Denver right now. I'd love to see that matchup.
Yes.
And if we need to get like 2K Sports or somebody to create a really good video game so we can play it. Because that Wii video game was so garbage.
It was doo-doo. I remember I played it. I played it when I went out of RollerCon. They had a little booth set up. And then I was like, oh, cool. But there was nobody there. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try. After 5 minutes, I realized I know why nobody's playing this game. Because it's doo-doo.
I remember when the game came out. Yeah, you were at RollerCon and we were here.
Yes.
Like, it was like the week it came out. Yeah. Everybody, it was like a whole big buzz about it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who got it, but me and Dell and a couple other skaters went to this person's house. It was a party for the game.
Yeah.
And, like, it just ended up sitting there. We just ended up drinking outside. And it was so bad.
It was bad.
what's it called, Derby Superstar or something. It, was like, it didn't have any of the WFTDA teams.
I'd say it was called Derby Doo Doo. That's what it should have been called. It was bad, man. I went to the booth and I was thinking, I was like, oh man, the video game, you know, thinking you see the booth, you think it'll be like people lined up around to take turns.
This is RollerCon.
This is RollerCon in Vegas. Yeah. Okay. Which is, you know, which if you've never been to RollerCon in Vegas, I'm telling you, it's on your Derby bucket list. Absolutely. It's pretty awesome. So I get there, nobody's really playing, and I talk to her like, hey, I'm playing, and she's like, yeah, sure. She didn't even seem too excited to advertise the game. Like, she knew I was going to play for 5 seconds and turn around, put it down, and walk away.
Yeah.
She knew me walking into it, so she's like, sure, go ahead. Yeah. Didn't give me any information, no nothing.
Really sorry.
Yeah. Mind you, this is a booth that is their job to promote and advertise. Yeah. She was just like, okay, here you go.
If you can get those 5 minutes back,
yeah, right.
I'd probably make a sandwich.
If I can get that 4.5 minutes back, because I even finished the first, like the second jam when once I kind of put together what was going on. But
it's
anyway,
get any better.
Yeah. So, but you were right, dude. Denver. I mean, they're sitting at number 7 or number 9. No, they're at number 7.
This is according to WFTDA, not Flat Track Stats, which
Correct.
Is completely different.
Yes, WFTDA just released on March 6th, which is the February 28th ranking, so this is pretty recent. So Denver sitting at number 7 has, we know that paradigm shift. Of course, we know Gotham losing OMG and Bonnie Thunders. That's a big loss.
If anybody can retool with the talent that they have,
the pool that they get to, yeah.
Yeah, they can pull from a huge, huge pool. They have, what, 5 home teams, the 5 boroughs,
yep.
And they come together as Gotham.
And I mean, it's New York as well. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. New York being such a culminating area for all walks of life, I mean, you know, just, you never know. It's like they're breeding these skaters in their backyard.
I mean, I am not worried about Gotham this season. I know they will definitely be probably in the Final Four.
In the Final Four?
Final Four teams?
Do you think they're making it to the championship, though?
No, because I've already called out my championship scenario one-on-one.
What you got?
I've got Denver versus, are you ready for this?
I already know. Angel City.
That is my prediction.
Because you're right. I mean, Angel City sit at number 4. They have been in the mix. All right, so the top 4 the past couple years: Victorian, Angel City, Rose, Gotham.
Top four every single year.
And now we know what happened with Gotham. We know what happened with Rose. So there's this big question mark with them. So then the power seems to shift. Now Angel City's still just as strong as they've ever been. You know. And it's just an interesting shift of what's going on here, man. And like I said, Denver's still in the top 10.
Absolutely. Denver's definitely going to be in the finals.
They're going to be there. They are going to be in the finals. So you're calling Denver versus Angel City.
I'm calling Denver Angel City.
You know what?
Jacksonville also was right there, too.
Jacksonville, because not only did they pick up, so Snot Rocket signed. She joined them last season. So now, after having a full season under the belt, also another huge pickup for Jacksonville. Leanne Grohl, another transfer coming down from Steel City. So, man,
Steel City taking it on the chin, but I mean,
yes, dude. But I mean, that's Derby, though.
Oh, it is Derby.
It is Derby. You always see, you know, leagues, they sometimes go through rebuilds. So, I mean, that's what separates these top tier teams from the rest of them. Like, that top 10, no matter what, they manage to always, you know, keep a good culture, keep a good, what do you call it, almost like a breeding culture, yeah. Like, you know, keeping good talent. Filtering through.
So. Tampa coming back on the rise also. Have you seen Taz's workout videos lately?
Taz is a beast.
Taz has been beasting lately. Yes. She has been lifting and just jacking herself up.
Yeah, she was already pretty
already
stocky.
Jacked, dude. She was
you know
already
what I'm saying?
Solid.
Already solid, but you know, I know she's probably taking some time because she was dealing with a little bit of injuries towards the end of last season, but I feel like she took the proper amount of time.
Yeah.
Because that's the most important thing, giving your body enough time to heal. As we see it too many times, not only in Derby, but in professional sports, these athletes, they go too hard too soon.
Atlanta definitely looking really strong again this year. Blackjack's going to have a full season start.
Yes. I mean, if ever there was a year where things were more up in the air, it's definitely
this
year.
It's a toss-up.
Champs are going to be...
Speaking of champs, I'm definitely going to champs. You're still on the fence, or have you decided
to... No, you're going to divisional.
No, champs is in Philly, homie.
Not Champs.
Champs is in Philly. Look it up. We discussed this like the last time on the show.
No, not Champs.
Yes, it is, dude.
Okay. Talk while I pull this up.
And I will give us a subject to talk about. Champs is neither not in Philly or it is. Because it is. Uh-oh. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, November 3rd.
Okay, all right. Champs is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I thought Champs was the one going to. No, okay, no, Malmo, Sweden. Okay. No, Pittsburgh Sweden, yeah. Okay, they took a D1 to Sweden.
It's D2, I mean. Yeah, Pittsburgh is D2.
Oh, is it? Yeah. All right, yeah. So Pittsburgh is D2.
November 3rd to the 5th. Philadelphia,
okay,
Pennsylvania.
Yes. Champs is in Philly. Okay, which is it? It's only like, what, 5 hours?
Yeah, it's less than that. I mean, if you put the pedal down. I'm definitely going. And
okay, I know. I'm still contemplating. Life's been a little tough lately, but we'll see. I forgot Champs was in Philly. I thought it was like D1 in Philly. Okay.
And here's the thing. We're gonna try. Well, I'm gonna try to get us a hotel so we can probably get that whole Team Wet Black hotel experience going down again. And if I can do that, maybe we can score us a free room or two, and maybe that'll entice you to come down here more. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll always have Atlanta.
We'll always have Atlanta.
So oh my goodness!
So we've gone to what, three champs now?
Three champs. It was Nashville, Atlanta.
So just two.
Two. Okay. Two. We've done two champs. Yes.
Had a ball in both of them. We've been to a lot of D1 championships.
Yeah, a lot of been many D1s, but the champs, we did the two champs.
Champs Atlanta, we booked a hotel.
That's right, because we tried to make it to when it was in Minnesota, but it was not, no matter how we tried to figure out logistically.
Not in the stars. Plane, trains, automobiles. We couldn't book any of them.
In the words of the great Miss Cleo, it's not in the stars. Not in the stars. I want to see a Where Are They Now, Miss Cleo. What is she doing?
She died like 2 years ago, dude.
What?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
I promise you.
Oh, my gosh. I guess it wasn't in hers. I wonder if somebody read her cards.
Somebody said something. It wasn't in the stars.
Wasn't in the stars.
I promise you. Yeah, she did. Yeah,
oh, my gosh. Miss Cleo, man. I remember she was like the queen of, like, you know, tarot.
Call me now. 900. That was the... Decade of the 1-900 number.
Yep.
Everything was 1-900. 1-909-Jeff. Gigi Jazz Jeff and Fresh Prince had their own 1-900 number. Freddy Krueger had his own 1-900 number.
Because 800 wasn't cool anymore.
No, 800 wasn't
cool. No, it was not cool. Everyone had 800 number. So you had to get 900 number.
If you want to talk to Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, it was always a recording. Don't ask me how I know that all that stuff was
recorded.
Yeah,
I know that you called.
I call a couple of them. I mean, it's always a recording. I mean, you know, your parents aren't supposed to know. You call them something.
Oh, yeah.
Landline. What are you doing on the phone?
I say, you know when they get that bill, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, shoot.
Oh, man, are we about ready to start talking about these juniors yet? Are we still...
Okay, all right, yeah. All right, tell you what. All right, so big things, like we said...
Ron and Skull
to Denver. Yeah. Grohl plus the last year's pick up to Jackson. It's not Rocket to Jacksonville. And then the big one, Steph Maney to Bay Area. Now, Bay Area, unfortunately, has taken a huge hit because it was not, but a few years ago, Nashville, Bay Area was one of the favorites to topple.
I picked them to win it all.
Because you remember, just that year before, they were in such high contention. So then, boom, the very next year.
Knock, Demanda Riot, they had it all that year.
Yes, they did indeed. And, what happened, though? I just feel like they fell off.
Like four or five skaters retired at the same time.
Yep.
And they're still in the top, what, 20?
Yeah, they're at 20. So they're still in Division I. That's a pretty big pickup. You got to imagine if Demanda's still, you know, she's probably, you know, fully back at it by now because she broke her leg, so that took her out. So
I mean, there's people you can tell are going to play Derby until they literally can't play Derby anymore. And I think Demanda Riot is one of those people. She loves it way too much.
She was an icon. I feel like she was one of those, especially with the face paint. She was just very iconic. She was good for the sport.
She's huge for the sport. Like, kids love her. Like, she's as scary as she looks on the track. She is that much more the nicest person in the world off of the track.
Yes, indeed. She is. So, and you know what? That's funny because I know Stephanie and Demanda had a good relationship, I know, previously, because I told you that year when we were at Champs and Mani, like, somebody was taking a picture with Demanda Riott and Mani photobombed in the background.
And then they did it the other way.
I was like, dude, how cool would that be? You're taking a picture of Demanda and then Steph Mani's photobombing your dunk in the background. Like, that's probably a pretty cool picture. Yeah. So, yes, yeah, so that's pretty cool stuff.
I'm pretty sure that's that person's profile picture to this day.
To this day, yeah. One last thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the big girl. Should we wait for we'll talk about March Madness? Talk about
it? No, we can start with it, actually.
Okay. All right, so we're going to talk about March Madness. This is a juniors tournament. Yeah. But during this tournament, we did have some big girl derby. We had the Columbia Roller Derby. Previously, Columbia Quad Squad.
Well, the way I was explained to it, and it's probably not, but I mean, this is the way I was explaining. Like, Columbia Roller Derby is the Quad Squad, which is going to be the A team, the Soda City Jerks, and the Junior Rollers. All together, that's Columbia Roller Derby.
Okay.
So the Quad Squad is still the Quad Squad.
So one name to encompass all, like, yes, all female. Okay. All right. So, I mean, that makes sense.
It does make sense.
So the Columbia Quad Squad Roller Derby All-Stars did take on the Charlottesville Derby Dames. So this was a Division I matchup. Going into it.
And also the Belmont Bruisers took on the Soda City Jerks, which was both B teams.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. But for all intents and purposes of talking, you know, like, you know, impact on
rankings. Oh, yeah.
So going into it, Columbia Quad Squad was ranked
30.
And Charlottesville Derby Dames were ranked
51.
So it's 38 versus a 51. And, man, just like last time.
Exactly like last same script almost.
Same script almost, but last time it came down to the final jam.
Yes.
Was when Charlottesville took the lead. But this time, Charlottesville, it was an awesome back and forth game.
Oh, yeah. Started off the same way it started off last year. Columbia Quad Squad mounted a big lead, and Charlottesville came back, and then it was neck and neck the rest of the way, and yep, Charlottesville pulls ahead.
And they pulled out the win. I believe it was a 12-point win. Don't have it.
Yeah, it was 12-point win. It was the second biggest upset of the weekend. And the first was Circle City versus Battle Creek. I am not familiar with either one. Well, Battle Creek is Michigan. I don't know what Circle City is, but CQS.
It's that city that it's in a circle.
Circle shape. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Charlottesville was 169 versus 157. So it was a 12-point win. Yeah. So it was an awesome game. But you know,
River Styx Phoenix does it again, man.
Oh, that's a bad mama jamma.
She is awesome.
See what you said? Did their bad mama jamma?
I got you.
I don't know. I came up with that this past week and I feel like a genius for it. Bad mama jamma, because she's a jammer. And she's probably not a mama, but I mean, I don't know. But it's awesome.
Well, she has a mama.
I'm sticking with it.
Hey, it's yours.
Yeah, yeah. So now River Styx Phoenix, man, did a lot of the work. I mean, it was a team effort. I mean, you know, still excellent play by both teams. But I want to say a definite impact player would have to be River Styx Phoenix. And also, I mean, come on. CQS was down one of their key blockers.
Oh, yeah. Chucktown Bruiser, who is in right now Barcelona.
Barcelona, floofing hair.
As last we checked in, she was in Barcelona, but before that, she was in Paris, and
So I mean, you know, you never know.
And she was, in fact, the only one watching via Facebook
a lot the entire time. So, and you know, like you said, you never know what could go down. You know, what could have happened. But at the end of the day, hats off to Charlottesville. So, now if our calculations are correct, now. This is according to Flat Track Stacks. They gave him, it was about 10.5 points going both ways. So 10.5 points lost by Columbia, 10.5 points gained by Charlottesville. So now this is not accounting for anything else moving in between there.
This is in no way, shape, or form accurate, but this is just our calculations.
Our calculations to projections is that's going to put Columbia Quad Squad at the cusp of Division One, because as you know, with the reshaping of the bracket, Division One now cuts off at
36.
So no longer top 40, it's top 36.
That would put them at 36.
That would put them at right around in that cusp, and that's going to kick up Charlottesville from 51 to around the mid-40s. Yeah. So again, that is not accounting for anything else that moves in between there, But I mean, that's gonna put that's
huge.
That's gonna put Colombia in the danger zone, as I like to call it. So, but good for Charlottesville.
Absolutely,
good for Charlottesville.
Charlottesville actually sweeping the weekend. Their B team defeating the Soda City Jerks, which is a really good bout also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I unfortunately had to cut out a little bit early. Caught a pretty awesome concert here in Colombia, which, by the way, when we get to the end of our show, we do our What We've Learned is coming from that concert. Awesome concert. So, but in any case,
I like the fact that I didn't know what show you were going to see until you were actually at the
getting ready to go.
I was like, oh, we're gonna go to Amos Lee. Amos Lee. I used to work with him.
Right?
I used to work with him when he's from, well, he went to USC.
Yeah, he went to USC. He's from, turns out, Philly.
Yeah.
But went to USC.
Yes. And he worked at Papa Jazz at the same time I worked there. So, like, as he was leaving is when I was coming in. So, like, the last, like, 6 months of his being there, he actually taught me a few things. Like, he taught me how to use a cash register. I had never used a cash register before. That was actually my first retail job.
Okay.
I'd done a lot of things, like, you know, warehouse stuff mostly, but that was my first retail job, so he taught me how to use a cash register.
Yeah, so it was pretty interesting, and then my girlfriend didn't believe you. She was like, what? No!
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, when we were at the show, like, one thing I love about live shows is that just that openness of artists, you know, when they're on stage in between songs, they kind of just, you know, have a couple words, crack a couple jokes, tell some funny stories. And obviously with him being from having roots in Columbia, South Carolina, he had a lot of good stories. A lot of his songs that, we know from, if you're a fan of his, you got the background of the story and how he wrote it and where he get the inspiration. And he had a couple good stories about, obviously Papa Jazz and all that stuff. So it was a really, really, really good show. I'll tell you what, puts on an incredible show, him and his entire band, man. They've really evolved from like that old kind of sad folky to like a more upbeat, folky, bluesy, kind of just, oh, dude, man. His band was incredible as well. I mean, they were all awesome, but, oh, great, great
show. I think
what
cemented it for Eliza was the visual image of, because when he was down here, like, before the concert, they took a picture of him. He came back to Papa Jazz, and him and a couple of his bandmates played in Papa Jazz.
They did a daytime show at 3 o'clock, and she was mad because she didn't really follow, like, Papa Jazz on Twitter. So Papa Jazz was like, hey, Amos Lee's doing a little show here at 3 o'clock. And yeah, man, I imagine it was probably packed out, but oh, dude,
that place
that
is small.
So cool,
that place is small as it is. So they were behind the cash register, behind the not where the cash register, but in the other area where the cash register is. And it was Amos was guitar, and a couple other people back there. And they're just playing. It looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome, especially when you see artists do stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Going back to their roots and showing some love.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. So, all right, well. You want to go ahead and take a little break?
We can take a little break.
All right, we're going to take a little break. We will be right back. This is the After Party on WDRBY.
All right, welcome back. Now, it's a well-known fact throughout the Derby universe that Team Wet Black loves kids.
Wet Black does indeed love the kids.
Everybody knows that.
And that's and the kids love Team Wet Black.
Hey, according to the kids, Team Wet Black is the number one source for your announcement needs, because the kids were wanting us to announce every single bout.
Yeah, it was good when they were like, "Oh, you're announcing our bout? Yes!" Like these, to see the excitement when they found out that we were announcing their bout was pretty cool.
And it's no disrespect to any of the other announcers, but we're a lot more animated than your normal announcers.
This is true, and I mean, when you basically think about it, we're big kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm exactly who I envisioned myself to be when I was 12.
So that definitely helps, and that contributes. So, not only were we more animated, we had more fun, crack a lot more jokes than most. And we also just have such good chemistry. So that's the biggest thing. We have this great chemistry between us. So, I mean, together, I mean, you know, we just, come on, man. We are who we are.
So there was a conversation amongst some of the Columbia Junior Rollers. And I happened to walk by, and they stopped me. And they're like, okay, no disrespect. And some of them are really polite. And then you got that jerk squirrel. But some of them are really polite.
Excuse me? Squirrel is awesome,
Squirrel's
man.
A jerk.
I love squirrel.
Yeah, all right. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah, so, and the squirrel was amongst them. So, like, no disrespect, but we thought you guys were gay.
Yeah, because that only happens once a week.
It happens all the time. But I And I started laughing, and I showed him our Christmas card.
Oh, wow. That doesn't help.
It doesn't. And actually, it was Squirrel that brought up the point. If you and your best friend don't get mistaken for lovers, you're doing something wrong.
You know what? That is an excellent point. You're not besties.
So I'll give Squirrel that.
Yeah, because you know it's funny when we went to the World Beer Festival a few weeks ago, and it was funny how there were some of my good coworker friends. So you have those people you hang out with at work.
Yeah.
But you know you don't always hang out with them outside of work. But I actually have a handful of guys that I hang with outside of work as well. So there's one or two of them that like are up there as far as like I would say my best friends from work. And then one of them, when you and I were hanging out at the beer festival, at one point in time, right after we did the Jackson Distraction, he turned around, he's like, I get why you two are best friends. You know what? Just seeing you guys hang out, and after about 20 minutes, I totally understand why you guys are best friends. Yeah. He's like, you guys are just peas in a pod, man.
Yeah, and it looks like it's really great that, you know, you have somebody like that. And there are a lot of people that are best friends on the team, and just can tell when they're best friends on the team.
Exactly.
So I have a few skaters here, and we're not going to list. There's no way in shape or form we can list or even talk about all of the people that we met this weekend.
A lot of great people. Once again, a really, really positive response. I know you had somebody approach you with some really positive words.
Yes, one of the moms from a couple of moms from a couple of teams came up and said, we really enjoy what you guys do. You make our kids feel so good about themselves, and we can see you interacting with them off the track and talking to them, and you guys have a lot of fun, and we really appreciate people doing stuff like that for them. So it makes me feel really good. If only one person says that to me, it makes the whole weekend worthwhile.
It really, really does, man. I just can't stress that enough. Like, you know, it's really cool for us to do what we do, not only just to be able to do it, but when we get such a positive response to it, it makes us want to continue doing it and take it to the next level in every way, shape, and form. So thank you all to anyone and everyone that has ever at any point in time appreciated us and even taken the time to give us some positive words and feedback. Thank you.
All right. And also we want to thank our announcing crew that came down to brave the elements of Snowpocalypse 2017.
The end of days, it was what it was appear, man. It was Saturday. We were outside, shorts and a t-shirt. 70 degrees. It was beautiful weather. And then today.
And then today, you would have thought it was, you slept for a year and woke up. Oh, was it winter already?
It was snowing.
It's the middle of March, people.
It was snowing, okay? Take that in, ladies and gentlemen. 70 degrees Saturday. Snowing Sunday morning.
You tell me something ain't wrong with the climate change. Yeah. I dare you to say something's wrong.
Yeah, shit was crazy, man. It was just, but you know, I was all scared coming in for the end of days, but hey, what better way to spend our final days than with our Derby family?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I got a couple of comments on my ever-changing wardrobe this weekend, because yes. I changed everything, just about every other bout, I had something different. Changed my hats, changed my shirts, T-Rex outfit. We'll get into that in a minute. T-Rex outfit was really popular.
and still champion.
Let's talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, all right. I was about to say, that was a lot of fun.
So in between one of the bouts, we did something that I came up with, like, you know, just to spare in a moment, 30-second pillow fights. So the thing was, Sanchez would come out with a pillow, and he'd pick a kid out of the crowd, give him a pillow, and then announce me. So I come out with a T-Rex outfit and a pillow and a championship belt. So I told Sanchez beforehand, I'm going to let these kids wail on me. No matter what happens, after 30 seconds, I'm the winner. You find a way by disqualification. You stepped on my tail.
Yeah, that kid stepped on your tail. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that.
By outside interference, yep. I don't care how you do it. No matter what, I win. And by each win, the crowd booed more and more.
The first one, people were like, boo! What? What do you mean he won? I was like, hey, look, I'm the ref. So
it was so great.
Yeah, by the third time, people were like, okay. They were like, the fix is in. The boos got louder. It was hilarious.
So after the first kid, I decided, you know what, I'm just going ahead and give her the belt after it was all over. You know.
Okay, so you did give her the belt. I did give her the belt. Okay, I noticed that. That was nice of you. But yeah, dude, that was hilarious. You were that one kid, especially. You were down on the ground. He was just ground pounding with the pillow. Boom, boom. But then he stepped on your tail.
Yeah. So the second kid, I think that's what it was. The second kid, he caught me right in the nose. He caught me right in the nose with the pillow. And I'm tearing up, which that's why I went down to one knee. That was not a show. He caught me right. Those pillows were pretty thick too.
Yeah, they were.
Hit me right in the nose. You know how, you know, it doesn't take much for you to tear up if you get hit in the nose, right?
Yeah, the right angle hit, yeah.
Dude, I'm sitting there tearing up. I'm doing like this.
And the kid's just wailing just, on you,
dude,
you know?
You didn't stop. I was thinking it's 30 seconds, Jay. That had to be like 5 seconds.
Yeah. Oh man. Right, but so it was, shout out to everybody who
participated on that.
That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And still, like, that was a lot of fun because I immediately with the like, that was hilarious, dude. That's one of the best ideas you had in a long time.
Oh, dude, you're right. All right, so we're going to start shouting out some of our standout skaters from this weekend.
Yeah, remember, this isn't any order. This is just, you know, shout out to some of the standout skaters.
No particular teams. And I'm like, all the teams who participated, Rocket City, the Little Nemesis Sisters, Mad Divas,
Raleigh Junior Rollers,
Pineapple
was in the house, and of course Columbia Juniors,
yes,
Team North Carolina, and Team South Carolina. Yeah. So, shout outs to everyone.
So, some of the bigger hitters of the weekend: Tonka, definitely, Mia Slam, Radioactive,
Kitty Chaos,
yes, Daisy Juke, Maximum Effort, and Franchise.
Oh, okay. Francis. All right. So, I have something to say, all
right? That's why I stopped on that.
Okay. You are a junior, okay, which means you were under the age of 18.
Yes.
Okay?
Well under the age of 18.
Well under the age of 18, and your name is Maximum Effort, which is a reference to...
Deadpool! And you're teamed up on the same team with a skater named Francis. Francis was the only junior that participated in Onesie Day with me.
Yes. He was cool. He was really cool.
He was the second cutest person in the onesie there next to myself.
But it doesn't change the fact that your names are referencing an extremely rated R movie. Now, like, this isn't just rated R. I swear that thing should be MA.
Yeah. Now, mind you, Francis might actually be Francis's name.
Okay. So I'll give him that.
Give him that.
Now, Maximum Effort. Yeah.
Who come to find out is a cousin of Chucktown Bruiser.
Yes, which at the end kind of makes sense.
Yeah, so yeah, we were like, okay, you get a pass. It's your Chuck cousin.
You get a pass. She was pretty cool and pretty talented.
Oh, yeah.
Following in her cousin's footsteps.
Let's see, who else? I said Dynamite already. Did I say Dynamite? She was really quick.
Yes, very quick. Dynamite!
Killer B. Already sent me as a Fallout Girl.
Fallout Girl, I'll tell you what, she was probably one of the most well-rounded skaters I saw the weekend, because not only was she a very effective and efficient jammer, but she was an excellent pivot, control the pack, great derby IQ.
And so, I'll tell you what, Deadbeat Darla reminds me of Jabs, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Never took a smile off her face. She smiles the entire time she's skating.
Getting up after, like, getting laid out.
She gets laid out. She gets hit. I mean, she's you know, evasive, and she's got lead jammer several times and picked up a lot of points. But when she gets hit, she gets right back up, smile on her face, biggest day.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, touche to her. So I believe she's a Mad Diva.
Yes. Shortcut.
All right, which one? Because
I didn't know there were two shortcuts.
Yes, I didn't either. They were messing with me. They were messing with me hard. They did it on purpose because there was that first we saw the male shortcut.
Yeah,
he was pretty good, and then of course the female shortcut.
And then I remember, like, after the bout was over, shortcut male was 0.05. Shortcut female was just 5.
Yeah. They were messing with us.
Let's see. Do we mention Daisy Juke, who came up to us at the end of the bouts?
She's my new favorite. I have a lot of favorites, but she's my new favorite.
She fangirled us a little bit, man. She wanted that picture. It was like, pretty cool. We had to give her the best poses.
Yeah, you know, she was pretty awesome, because I love the when you see the smaller frame jammers, you know, just obviously this is a junior, so you have different age groups and different sizes, but when you see the smaller frame jammers like Daisy Duke, like Hawaiian Punch.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so those two jammers, that when they're jamming, I mean, you look at them like, oh no, be careful. But
and then,
man,
they just blow by you.
And the fuse gets lit and they are off. I mean, they are getting hit and they're just taking it and absorbing, keeping it going, man. Absorbing. I'll tell you what. A Hawaiian Punch in particular, man, that chick has got some incredible footwork.
Yeah.
Man, for her frame and her size, she really blew me out of the water.
Also, shout out to Ragamuffin.
Yes.
Who underwent the concussion protocol. She had to leave and came back to support the Team SC Juniors.
Yes.
Shout out to her. Glad you're feeling a little bit, feeling better. Hope everything's all right. There were a few injuries. Like, the EMTs were working a little bit hard this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, and some of them were scary. I know at one point in time there's a pretty bad nosebleed.
Oh yes, I can't remember who it is. Who it was at the time? Yeah. Oh no, I can't remember.
Matt Moody took a shot to the face.
There were a lot of breaks too. Like, we ran behind a few times this weekend total. Yeah. I mean, what can you do? I mean, it's a physical sport.
It's derby. There are always going to be, especially with tournament derby, there's always going to be those, you know, time things that just hold you up, whether it be injuries, whether it be just track maintenance, whether it be just something, you know, can go awry at some point in time.
I want to also talk about some of our skaters from Columbia Junior Roller Derby. Some of our favorite athletes. We still have the real Slim Skatey.
Oh, yes, man. That kid. Golly, dude.
His frame is just basically, he's built for derby. I mean,
yes.
Once he bulks up a little bit,
yeah, all he's got is super dangerous.
Just
a few pounds, because his skating wise, he's incredible talent. Yeah.
He's got those long strides, gets him around the outside of a wall.
And he knows how to use his body to, like, edge his way through.
Good at swinging around, turning his hips into an excellent positional blocker. Absolutely.
Excellent positional blocker. So, yeah, shout out to Slim Skatey.
And let's see, some of our favorite. Oh, you know what?
Let's save our MVP to the end. That's not where we're going, right?
We can't talk about these without talking about my favorite skater of the weekend. One of my favorite skaters, Sparkle Fart.
Okay. All right. I'm just okay.
That is
the name of the weekend. It is a little controversial. I don't know why. I just have trouble saying that. Like, I don't know. It just, for some reason, the word fart just always seemed a little like vulgar to me. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the nastiest way to say that. I know everyone does it. So, but it was funny because I have so much trouble with that. As he was jamming, I was like, Sparkle, Sparkle Toot, Sparkle Pass Gas. That really kind of got the crowd like, and Sparkle Fart.
Oh, they united against you.
Yes, they did. Granted, once I realized I was having fun with them, I did, you know, I poked the bear just a little bit. It was a lot of fun.
Gilly didn't like that that you say it.
Yes, Sparkle Fart. Come on, man. You couldn't come up with a better name than that.
We can't go without talking about our favorite trio from Columbia Junior Roller. Mm-hmm. Adorable Turtle and Lil Saint.
Mm-hmm.
Love those three skaters.
Yes, yes, yes. I would have to say they've been around a good while.
And also nobody's favorite, Squirrel.
Squirrel? My favorite.
Nobody's favorite.
Yeah. Squirrel, who got a free Botox.
She got free Botox.
Free Botox. Let me tell you something. The Kardashians pay big money to get their lips all, like, you know,
plump and full.
And man, she took a shot to the lip. Ooh.
All of a sudden she was
And you thought that thing was swollen today?
Wait till tomorrow.
Shit, when she goes to school tomorrow.
Post a picture tomorrow.
Yes. Monday morning when she goes to school.
When it happened, I was eating a baked potato. So when it happened and she came back to the bench, she turned around and said, Parv! Parv, look!
She's trying to... Emphasis on Parv! Parv!
What are you doing? Stop talking! You said it hurts. Stop talking.
And it's funny because when it happened, I hadn't arrived yet because today I had a little bit of a late start. So when I arrived, she was like, Sanchez! And she was like, you know, doing this like motioning with her
pointing.
I was like, are you blowing me kisses? What are you doing?
You're 12.
What are you doing? You're 12, right? And I was like, stop. And then I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And I realized her lip, she was pointing out her lip, you know? And it was interesting, but... Yeah, I know she skated a little bit even after the fact.
But she did not skate in Team SC.
Yeah, she didn't skate in Team SC. Probably a good thing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing looked pretty gnarly.
Adorable, who fouled out in the... Which bout did she foul out? The last bout? Before?
She took a shot. Yeah, she took a shot to the ribs. Yeah. So they sat her for the remainder of the Team SC bout.
Yeah. There's no need to get in there when you're up by 150 points. Or risk further injury. I mean, I know she took that pretty hard, but I mean, she obviously wants to get out there and skate. She's got that passion to do it. She's got that drive to do it, but, you know... You're not invincible. No matter how young you are.
You do have youth on your side, but still, you don't want to do too much damage before, you know, because some of that stuff, most of it is going to heal, but some of it, you don't want to do anything permanent damage, so.
All right, so these last two skaters, me and Sanchez have been going back and forth about who would win in a race.
Yes.
So we actually put the question out there. Lil Saint Turtle says that he don't want none.
Yeah, so I said, Turtle in a race between Turtle and Lil Saint, I wonder who'd win. And just when I said that
Turtle put that shade, he turned his head to the side.
And Saint just turned around and looked on his face like,
he don't want none.
Right? Like, just straight up, he don't want none. It was so hilarious.
So if this happens at practice, 5-lap race...
Yeah, it's gotta be at least 3 to 5, yeah, somewhere around that. Yeah, at least
5-lap race. If this happens at practice, somebody's gotta film it and post it to our page, because I would love to see it.
Please, I want to see the results of that. So it was just, but like I said, it's Lil Saint's fate set everything, but at the same time, I'd have to say our overall
tournament MVP for
tournament
us.
MVP probably going to Lil Saint.
Lil Saint, I mean, his athleticism alone. I mean, and we announced his first bout.
Yes.
And you can tell, I mean, you could tell it was something there, but he was a little wild, a little out of control, and, like, he's...
Yeah, that's true. You're talking about when he first started.
Yes. You can tell he's been working at it. He's tweaking it, tightened it up.
Yeah, because he's an athlete, okay? Yeah. He is one of the just has a certain amount of just athleticism, just natural athleticism. He's got
a track and field background and a football background.
So. Yes, so, I mean, so he had that, you know, the endurance, everything, but after, like you said, after about a year or so, he really started, footwork has come a long way. Knows how to use
his frame. He pulled off some incredible moves this week.
Oh my gosh. He's like, just his agility, his ability to maintain, in bounds and use momentum. I mean, there was one point in time where him and the jammer, they were both engaging. They were on scoring passes. They were coming around. He goes, starts to play a little bit of defense against the other jammer. And while in reverse, blocking against the other jammer, immediately goes and jumps through the pack while still in reverse. Yes. I was like, holy crap.
I know adult skaters that can't do that.
Right? Just blew my mind, man. And
before we continue talking about Lil Saint, let me go ahead and just... All the stuff that I was talking about earlier, I don't dislike Squirrel. It's just a joke between us, okay? Just so I don't need any email. I'll do it. The views expressed by Parthenon Johns do not necessarily reflect those of WDRBY, the After Party, its staff, management, or on-air talent.
Yes. And you know what? It's just because...
I've been looking for a new nemesis, and I think Squirrel is it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, obviously it's because of the fact that she likes me more.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, in general, you're much more like just... well-roundedly, like, you're much more worldly, you know what I'm saying? So for the most part, you're more like me, and I'm okay admitting that. I have no problem with that. I know how I come off a lot of the times, and I know me being me is you know, sometimes we'll stand out.
I didn't like you the first time I met you.
I get that, and I am okay with that. You know, that's something I'm okay with and I live with. So that's just the name of the game I play. So I'm okay with that, but can I have one.
So Squirrel comes out and she says that Sanchez is her favorite. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I think it was you gave her the shirt off of your back. That's what it was.
That's exactly what it was.
That's what she said. She said it was neck and neck, and then when that happened, she...
Yeah, because she's always been pretty cool, and then it's sometimes someone slips through the cracks as far as merch. Like, we got, you know, there was a period there where we always had merch. We were giving out t-shirts all the time. And she was one of those people that was always there. Hey, you got a t-shirt? Yeah. And then, like, we would never give her a t-shirt. So the day came, and she was like, can I have a t-shirt? And I remember it was, like, the fifth time at a bout, at like a different bout where she had asked, and I was like,
it was at D1 Columbia.
It was at D1, and I was like, crap, and we didn't have any more because we had just given away our last one. I was like, you know what? Took the shirt off that I had on and gave it to her.
And you know what? I'm all right with that now. I think I'm all right with that. But Squirrel, you're still my nemesis.
Yeah.
Still. All right, let's get back to Lil Saint.
All right, so Lil Saint and
our tournament MVP.
Our tournament MVP. And to top it all off, okay, to top off the fact of his skill, athleticism, as a person, he is a good
kid. He's so respectful.
Kid, right?
Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes. I love it.
Yeah, you know, he's got a good head
on his shoulders.
Great head on his shoulders. Extremely respectful. Not like showboaty or any of that. He's just cool, calm,
although
and down
he easily
to earth.
Could be showboaty, but I'm just glad he didn't take that, you know, the showboaty turn.
So, yeah, yeah, he's... no, absolutely. Because, I mean, and if you take any of this to your head and it goes to your head, let me tell you something, Lil Saint.
Don't turn to the dark side.
We will pop that bubble, burst your bubble, and we will throw you under the bus.
Oh, boy, yeah, we can turn it down.
Yeah, but no, which is, like I said, it's just at the end of the day, he's an incredible skater. And he's a good person. And that's just, oh, man, I love to see that.
Yeah. All right, and I also want to talk about what happened in the Team SC bout.
Yes, and this is worth talking about not only for kids, but for derby and adults in general.
So there was an incident that got a skater named Mercenary ejected from the bout. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about what happened. Like, so, Turtle was jamming. Mm-hmm. He gets around, he gets a lead jammer. As he's coming back around, Mercenary nails him with a clean hit. It drops him to the ground. Turtle, of course, gets right back up, keeps skating. She gets right in front of him again, nails him again, right in front of us. Turn two. Happens again. Like, she's building up her adrenaline. Like, this is pumping her up. So, as that fourth hit comes, she starts stomping. Like, she's... So
during that fourth hit, you know, her momentum got a little heavy, mm-hmm. and it basically was a good old-fashioned high-impact high block.
Yeah.
Where it was just a lot of force, boom, shoulder came a little high, and he took a shot to the face.
Yeah. It was nothing egregious. She wasn't, like, I mean, she wasn't intending, of course she wasn't intending to hurt. I mean,
yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah.
But emotions started running high, you know what I'm saying? And on top of that, you got to take into consideration, Turtle, he's not, like, showboaty, but he is incredibly talented, and he is very competitive. So I feel like going against a skater like that, like, when you take them down time after time, it's a huge confidence booster. It's like, yeah, what now? Yeah. Huh? What now? Huh?
Yeah, so that after that last hit, she starts, you know, she stopped her skate a couple times, and I think that's what got her ejected. Like, the hit got her sent to the box, but that stomp got her ejected.
Yeah, yeah, because after the hit, she just comes out like, yeah, what? She was, like, saying, yeah, what? Stomping her feet, like, as almost to, like...
Kind of taunt a little bit.
Kind of, yeah, taunting on top of, you know, on top of it, you know, the fact that it was an illegal hit, you know, was technically a high block, so, you know, the referees didn't like that, which, no. I mean, it's... Come on, you... I understand emotions run high,
and
but
these are kids, it's
especially yeah. as kids, so forth, you know, it's high. But you got to rear back and you got to keep it under control. So you're right; it was the stomping and the what now and all that really pushed it over the edge. And man, even their coach, Turtles coach Holly Hunter was storming off of the bench
like Mama Bird. She was coming off the bench. You know, Dale had to hold her back.
She's like, really? Are you kidding me?
I mean, she wasn't coming after the skater. Like, she was going after the referee.
Yeah, she was going after referees to talk to them. Yeah. But I think Dale saw that right away, what the referees saw, where immediately after it happened, the referees kind of had this look. They looked at each other for a few seconds.
Other, yeah.
And they're like, okay, let's bring it in, guys. And we knew as soon as the referees brought it in, like, somebody's about to get ejected.
Yeah.
Expulsion, I'm sorry, is what it resulted in. So, I mean, we've seen it before where emotion went a little too high and you know, it results in an expulsion. So... at the end of the day, as long as you use it as a lesson, you know, you learn something from it, that's...
Hopefully she did learn something from it. I'm pretty sure she did.
Yeah.
Pretty sure her coaches had to talk with her about it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's understandable, you know.
Oh, it's definitely understandable. I played football. You get that big hit on somebody, you get pumped up. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it does.
All right, so we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and talk about what we learned.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to wrap things up like we normally do with our what we learned over this weekend. So
this is the after party of Team Wet Black on the internet's number one roller derby radio station, WDRBY. All right, we're back. So Let's talk about what we learned today.
This weekend.
This weekend total, but yeah.
Throughout the weekend. This is lessons that we learn either in Derby or life or in general.
Okay. Mine's not actually all Derby. I've only got two. Number one, Sparkle Fart is my spirit animal. You got to be comfortable with saying Sparkle Fart. If you're not comfortable with saying Sparkle Fart, then, you know, the terrorists win.
What?
Yes.
Okay, first of all,
somebody just say Sparkle Fart three times in a row.
No! Okay, that's the first thing. No. Okay, are you referring to the skater or the actual what is? Because that's not an animal. That's just a
it's
gas.
It's not an animal. I mean, the skater, yes.
Yeah, oh, the skater. Okay.
Sparkle Fart, it's a movement, man. You gotta get on the train.
Yeah, I'll catch the next one.
Accept it as your personal Jesus, man. It's
nah, it's all right. I'll catch the red eye. I'm good.
All right, and second, when you're in charge of planning the announcer rotation, no matter how much the kids beg you, put somebody else at 9 o'clock in the morning. I was by myself at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was taking on the personality of the clothes I would wear. I became Grumpy Bear. I mean, I mean, the kids didn't seem to like it. I mean, I was still pretty funny, I guess, but 9 a.m., not really my bad. I'm not a morning person.
It's okay. You're excused.
Yeah, and I don't drink coffee either, so that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
All right, what did you learn today, Derby Sanchez?
Okay, so this weekend, there are two main things I learned. The first thing is, when you have a microphone in your hand, regardless of the argument that is had, you're going to win.
Absolutely.
You are going to win. You know why? Because everyone only hears your side, and you have the microphone in your hand, so you sell it.
How many times have I said that at trivia? I have the microphone. Your argument is irrelevant.
Thank you, right? Exactly. So that's number one.
Whatever you say, I'm going to say it louder and funnier.
Exactly.
You're not going to win. I have a microphone, yeah.
So, and that's actually thanks to Sparkle Toot. So, regardless, I don't care what your dispute is.
Was it Sparkle Fart or was it Gilly?
Oh, wait, it was funny. It was Gilly, which, by the way, man, you want to talk about, like, doppelganger. She is a mini her.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Looks almost exactly like her, but, you know, smaller form.
We're talking about making panning and mini May.
Yeah.
Keeping the tradition going. You got, oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. Okay, so the second one is not Derby related. Yeah. As I mentioned earlier in this cast, that I went to a concert, really awesome concert. Pretty good mix of crowds and people at this concert, but all around good concert. So I learned one thing in particular. Just as annoying as drunken college kids at a concert,
I know exactly where you're going.
Drunken middle-aged people. Are you serious? You are a grown-ass adult. There is no reason for you to be acting like that in your 40s and 50s. Calm the heck on, man. I'm sorry. I know we were trying to keep it PG-13.
No, it's okay. No, it's fine.
But drunken middle-agers at a concert, man. Really? Mm. Obnoxious and annoying, man. Golly.
How bad did it get that you? this is your final thought. Come on,
this is it, dude. I'm not gonna tell you, stories, but there were a good bit of people in there that were out of hand. It wasn't just a slew of people next to me. Immediately, like I'm talking next to us.
Yeah,
there was, you know, a handful of other here and there, and I don't know. I guess I get it. You know what I'm saying? You're middle aged. You whatever, but come on, people.
I think that just varies person to person. Like it's. Being able to control yourself when you're drunk, control your alcoholic state when you're drunk. I mean, kids, don't drink until, you know.
Until you are of legal age.
21 and over.
21 and over, and still do it responsibly.
Yes.
Always, at all times.
But I've always been able to handle, you know, control myself at drunk days.
Yeah, you're right. It's case by case, man. But I don't know. I guess it's that whole concert environment, you know. I don't know. But anyway, so that's what I learned this past weekend.
All right, so a lot of things learned, a lot of things seen. We want to congratulate all the skaters we've seen and met. I've actually responded to a few friend requests from a lot of junior skaters this weekend. So if you have not done so, you can find us podcast on Podomatic.com. Like us on iTunes also. The After Party with Team Wet Black. Friend and share. I mean, hey, we can use the hits.
Absolutely.
Like us. You know, please. We like us in real life. Why not like us on our podcast? Give us some, show some love.
Yeah, let everyone know how awesome we are.
Hey, yeah, don't be afraid at all. Because Team Wet Black loves the kids.
That we do.
So, for the great one, Parth Vader, Derby Sanchez, Team Wet Black loves each and every one of you, except Squirrel. There's two things you can do about it. Like it and nothing. The after party is over. Bye, Squirrel.